All right. Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Anita Jay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. And today is Wednesday, August 14th, wow, 2019. And this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are in the chapter We Agnostics on page 47, the third paragraph, which begins, "That was great news to us," concentrating on the one paragraph. Today's readers are, for the 12 steps, Carmela G., 12 Traditions, Linda R., and readers of the text this morning are Ginger C. and Janice B., and our wonderful backup, Lisa B. The share ID numbers for Tuesday, August 13th, are for the 7 a.m. meeting, 13,268, 13268. And for the 10 a.m. meeting, 13,270, 13270. Our newcomer greeter will be Jason K., and the 8 a.m. host will be Nadia B. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry this message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Carmela G. to read OA's 12 steps.
Thank you so much, Anita. This is Carmela G., a recovered compulsive overeater from New York. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Carmela G. All right, I'll now ask Linda R. to read OA's 12 traditions.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. Linda R. recovered in North Carolina. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles above personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service.
Thanks so much, Linda R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. And once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press *1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. So today we resume our study of the Big Book in Chapter 2, We Agnostics, and we are on page 47, the third paragraph, which begins, "That was great news to us." And we'll be concentrating on just that one paragraph. And I've asked Ginger C. to get us started. Good morning, Ginger.
Good morning, Anita. Thank you so much for your service. This is Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. That was great news to us, for we had assumed we could not make use of spiritual principles unless we accepted many things on faith which seemed difficult to believe. When people presented us with spiritual approaches, how frequently did we all say, "I wish I had what that man has. I'm sure it would work if I could only believe as he believes." But I cannot accept as surely true the many articles of faith, which are so plain to him. So it was comforting to learn that we could commence at a simpler level. You know, and this paragraph is just starting us off on hope. That was great news. So again, if you're having trouble with this part of the book and connecting to a higher power, there's great news, because this power, you can find it because it's lying down deep within you. The only thing I have to do is get out of the way and keep seeking and asking. But more importantly, I have to follow this practical program of action. To me, my connection to this higher power develops by going through this work. It's from my experiences. It's not somebody else's connection. It's my own experiences, exactly as God would have it unfold. And again, we get to commence at a simpler level, simple and understandable, something that works for you, and that's where it's a broad highway. So as long as you can tap into something, a lot of people use God as the great outdoors or group of drunks. They use a lot of different ways to connect and to tap in. But I got to find that peace, because I have to have 100% reliance. And it's not only believing in this source, it's completely turning my life over 100%. So again, I mean, to me, it just unfolds as I do this work. And it all began when I put the fork down, and then I was picking up 30-day coins, and the time was going on, and I was doing so not only happily, but I was serene. I was calm. I wasn't like white-knuckled and in a lot of pain. And that blew my mind. So again, it was simple, and it just keeps building. And then I got into this ninth step work, and my sponsor, being a great sponsor, held me to the fire when he's like, no, you need to make this amends to your mom. And I thought, it was great that he did, because I saw something shift in me that could never shift with all the therapists that I had seen. And I knew something was going on. So we often say, is it odd or is it God? It's absolutely God. And it's so cool. And I'm so grateful that this God, this higher power, loves me so much more than I love myself. Because as an addict, I have a lot of self-hatred. And I only know how to destruct over and over. But with this source and with this power that's lying down deep within, I get quiet. I go into my cave like a bear. And I just hope to stay connected, so I never, ever buy the greatest lie that food is any type of friend or solution to life and life's problems. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Ginger C. All right, if you haven't shared Monday or Tuesday on the 7 a.m. meeting, please give me your name.
Irene,
Jenna E.
from Maryland.
Hi, Irene, and who was the second one? B.
Amy G.
Janet E. Oh, Amy G. Janet B.
Andrea
Janet E. Andrea, and who was the E?
Janet E.
Oh, Janet E. Okay.
Sandy S.
Sandy S. Irene B. and Amy G. and Janet E. and Andrea, you'll tell me when you identify your initial, Sandy S. All right, let's go with five. Why not? All right, Irene B., good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I am Irene B., a very gratefully recovered bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You know, I love to hear how to connect to God, because I'm probably the exception to the majority. I grew up knowing God or knowing about God, and my relationship was really, really bad. I didn't realize that at the time, but in looking back, I realize that now. And then my relationship got really, really good, I thought, but it wasn't, again, because I thought I was God. But besides that, I wanted with all my heart, mind, and soul to get close to God, but I didn't know how. And I just thought I had to do so many things, super complicated. I mean, it's like, oh, my God, you know, just crazy. And this is the first time that I see that simplicity is the way to go about it. And people had told me, well, you know, all you need to do is talk to God to pray years ago. So I learned to pray, but I never realized that I needed to talk to Him throughout the day. And that's how I stay close to Him. And, you know, I figure that if I don't believe in something and I talk to my higher power all the time, eventually a relationship will develop. And for me, I have the concept, but not the relationship. But I could develop the relationship. And I'm stuck with my concept, which I adore. But if you don't have a concept, then you can create your own concept, whatever works for you. I like my concept. But if you don't have that, then that can develop too. And it's like, why are we looking so much for this connection? And I just go back to what Harlan said at a share some time ago, not long ago, that when Bill was drunk as a skunk, he knew about the allergy of the mind, I mean, allergy of the body and twist of the mind, and Eddie didn't. All he knew about is about the spiritual experience. And he was sober. So that just tells us how important this relationship with God is. And I just thank Him that He is so faithful that even though I rebelled and rebelled and rebelled my entire life, He has been patiently waiting for me. And that He loves me as much as anybody else, that I am as important as everybody else, that I don't matter. Thank you so much. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Irene B. All right, Amy G., and then it'll be Janet E. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning. My name is Amy G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Simpler level, boy, you know, we just went through the appendixes and finding out there are so many ways to come to our own definition of a higher power and how that comes about. And here we are. The great news that it can really be on a simple level. And for me, with my firm hold on agnosticism, I too thought, well, there's just no way I can believe what many of you all are believing. And I remember someone saying to me, look, you know, you can be agnostic or whatever, but, you know, really, frankly, how's that working for you, Amy? How's that working for you? And the reality was, and we've been going through a number of chapters explaining the twofold nature of this disease, the physical allergy and the mental obsession, I was dying. I was down to the count. This disease had me back into a corner. I needed a power greater than myself, and I wasn't it. And you all had something that, frankly, talk about being able not to be able to believe. I had people in front of me in whom the problem had been solved. They had peace and serenity in their eyes. They had recovered. They had long-term recovery, things I had never seen or thought were possible. Frankly, my simpler level was that I needed a power. I wasn't it. And if I didn't do something, I was going to die of this disease. And you had something that I wanted. I wanted what you had. And you said there was a way. And if I was willing to take the action that my spiritual walk started with surrender and action and willingness. You know, they say the how of the program, honesty, open-minded, and willingness. I was honest in admitting that I couldn't do this on my own. I was open enough to say, you know what, I've got to do something different or I'm going to die of this disease and willing to take the action. And then it evolved, as others have shared. It began to evolve, but it started with action. In this program, we don't think, in my humble opinion, we don't think our way into a new faith. We act our way. That's what I had to do. I had to take action into the unknown. You know, it says in How It Works, we stood at a turning point. We asked for His care, complete abandon. I'm paraphrasing here. And I had to turn that over to the program. I had to turn that over to my sponsor when I didn't have a concept. I had to have you all help me by following those instructions and doing things that I didn't think were, I thought some of them were crazy. Some of these steps we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way. But the result was nil until we let go absolutely. And that was my simpler level. That was my start. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Amy G. All right, Janet E., and then it'll be Andrea. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, everyone. Janet E., grateful to be in recovery today. I'm calling from, actually, Cusco, Peru. I'm here for a month, and I've been trekking in the mountains and away from Wi-Fi and happy to be connected again to this group. And it's so interesting. I was just thinking about all of the spiritual paths I tried while I was still in the food. You know, I have studied at the feet of masters at ashrams. I have done fire walks. I've done transcendental meditation. I've done sweat lodges. All these things, which are all good and are all viable, wonderful spiritual paths. But for me, I was still in the food. So it just wasn't a clear pipeline. I was in the food. That was still my God. So I like hearing this reminder that I just have to keep asking. And the way that I approach this now is the food has to stay down. I can't, ask God to reveal him, her, itself to me if I'm still not willing to put down the food. I have to demonstrate my willingness. All right, today the food's down. It's committed to a sponsor. Now, God, I really want you to show me more of you. I want to know you better. And that's a prayer I often pray. And I just was trekking up in the mountains in some of the most beautiful scenery I've ever, the most beautiful God scenery I've ever been exposed to in my life. And I asked God, just show me more of you. Because I'd like to see a bigger you. And boy, did I get to do that. And the food stayed down. And it was an interesting experience. I was up in some remote parts of Peru. And the food I was offered, it wasn't what I would normally eat. But I didn't eat my red light foods. I didn't overeat. And it wasn't perfect. But it was, I kept my abstinence. And I kept God first. And so that's what I take from this, is I have to keep asking, show me more of you, God, show me the parts of myself that I need more of, more calm, more compassion. And as long as the food is down, there's space. Then there's space for God to get in there and do a little bit of work. And that's what I take from this. So I'm really so happy to be connected to aid everybody, and glad the Wi-Fi is holding out here. And wish everybody a beautiful day, and I pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Janet E. All right, Andrea, you are up.
Good morning. It's Andrea B, as in boy. And thank you so much for your service. Thank you to everyone that's done service. So, sort of like Bill W., I came with a knowledge of God that I had learned from my childhood and that I held on to very tightly. But then I also had developed resentments and angers towards God. You know, why did my father have to become so seriously ill when I was so young? Why did we always have to struggle? Why couldn't I, get to be like other kids and other girls? So coming into program, I had to develop. It took me a while to understand that I had to develop a new concept of God, and I had to develop a new understanding of my relationship with God. It wasn't so much about me saying to God, well, give me what I want. It was more about me gaining acceptance and learning how to live life on life's terms. Acceptance is a hard one. Because on the one hand, you can become a doormat and just allow anything to happen, not stand up for yourself, not take care of yourself. But then on the other hand, you can, by building that relationship with a higher power, you come to understand what it is you can do, what it is you truly can do, and what you really can't do and have to turn over. So it's been a journey, gaining that acceptance, and I continue to build it. That's something I'll have to do for the rest of my life, is to build that awareness and understanding and acceptance that there is a power greater than myself and what that power wants for me. So that's really what I wanted to share. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you for sharing that, Andrea B. All right, Sandy S., good morning. You are up.
Thanks. Hi, this is Sandy S. from Asheville. Wow, this is definitely really hard for me, you know, trusting that there is some really, really like knowing, not just saying I trust that there is a higher power, but really getting it into my whole being that there is something greater than my, I know there's something greater than myself, but does it care about me? I mean, that's the whole thing. Does this thing that created the whole world, does it really care about me? And I know that a higher power has kept me abstinent, got me abstinent, because I had a spiritual experience many years ago that I've shared that like it happened like yesterday. It was so strong. But I think for me, like, I'll probably be a doubter one day at a time. I hope that changes, but it hasn't changed yet in a long time. So what I have to do to really keep it simple is just like people keep a gratitude list, I have to constantly be aware of evidence that there is something greater than me that cares about me. I know there's something greater than me, but does it care? And I will say, here's one example, because I'm big on concrete examples and not abstractions. In 43 years of abstinence, I was never able to sponsor anyone because I was so judgmental and angry and frightened and controlling. And, you know, when I got involved with Vision, I knew, like, man, I have to sponsor somebody. So I went through about six people, you know, it just didn't work out. They dropped me. And finally I got number seven, and I call her Lucky Seven. And I can only tell you, I just have such a love for this person. You know, I really pray that each day I can be a loving, you know, not healthy, loving person to her. And it's real. I used to say, are they kidding? Like sponsoring, that's the highlight of your life? Like, really? I just found it a chore. Well, it is the highlight of my life. I can't explain it, but love is definitely better than food. I mean, that's why I stay abstinent. That's how I became abstinent. And every time I experience loving someone, not even being loved, loving someone, I know that's my higher power. I cannot on my own be a truly loving person, but that is God working through me. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Sandy. Yes. All right. You know, we are on page 47, the third paragraph. That was great news to us. Who else would like to share?
Mary L., Florida.
Mary L.
Linda D., Connecticut.
Linda D.
Jen A.
Jen A, Colorado.
Lisa B.
Lisa B.
Leah M.
Leah M.
Vanessa S.
Vanessa S. All right, let's stop right there. Wonderful. Okay, Mary L. and then Linda D. Please, Mary L., good morning.
Good morning, Mary L. in Florida, recovered. And I'm so pumped. Like, this is what I like to talk about. It's been 4 months, and my life has changed radically. And, you know, ditto to everything everybody's been saying. You know, for me, my relationship with my higher power has changed so much in the last 4 months, and it's developed. You know, when I first started the steps, I just said, you know, this time had gone through the steps in another fellowship. I'm just going to give it all. I'm going to give it all. And God, you know, came to me in a way, you know.
We're losing you.
Oh, I'm driving. Can you hear me?
Oh, Now I can.
I'm sorry, I'm driving. Anyway, I'll just make it brief and just say that for the longest time, I've always been in my head about God. Well, how do I really know? How do I know? You know, coming from a profession where I'm always doing the argument, counter-argument, I always came up with a counter-argument as to why. And this time, really, like what others have said, just keep it very simple. And what I know is that I feel peace when I spend that time with my higher power. And for me, you know, I just sit and I journal my prayers. And it's just been so incredible for me and peaceful. And the evidence is there. You know, I'm handling situations differently than I handled them before. And the thing is, I don't go to ego and say, oh, that was good, Mary, and pat myself on the back. I know God is working in my life. And I'm just so grateful to this group. It's really given me everything. That's it. I pass.
Thank you so much. All right, Linda D. and then Jen A. Morning, Linda.
Good morning, everybody. It's Linda D. from Connecticut. This meeting is just blowing me away because I do identify with everybody. I'm part of this tribe, and I love it. When I've been in program a really long time, and I'm recovered for about 5.5 years in, you know, Chiclets, a few days. Not a good image. But anyway, not Chiclets. I was an atheist. So I came in crushed. I had a wristband from a psych ward, and I've been there a lot. And it's unbelievable. Through a seeming coincidences, and of course they're not, I came to OA. And I did what I was told because I was crushed. And I knew God wasn't real. I gave it lip service. I'm talking to the air, blah, blah. I get down on my knees, all that. But I was so destroyed. I did what I was told. And I was doing the set-aside prayer without even knowing that it existed. And very soon I had a white light experience. It was dazzling. And then I had everyday life. And for that, I needed those steps, every single one of them, and I need them every day because this God that I know is real, that I know is love, that has taken me out of fear and into love and is within me as well as you, I'm not guessing. And I know how to use that every day, the tools to get to that. That is incredible. I'm not crazy. This is real, really real, and it's astounding. Stick around. The show is on. Thanks. I pass.
Okay. Yes. We're not going anywhere, Linda D. All right, Jen, you are up, and then it'll be Lisa B. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning, Anita J. I'm glad you're not going anywhere. Glad to be here with you all. Jen A. recovered in Colorado this morning, and we're talking about believing and faith and spiritual principles. And, you know, I grew up in the church and all that great stuff, but by the time I got to this program, that stuff made me just want to barf. I'll just have to say that, you know, I was pretty tapped out on all of it. And you know what? That God that I had been worshiping and praying with and blah, blah, blahing with and studying with, he wasn't serving me at all. He wasn't delivering the things that I wanted. And what I learned in this program is that God isn't my bitch. And I learned that, you know, I could be Jen, and I was busy. I was so busy being everything to everybody. Right. And I was so busy hurting others, and I was so busy lying to others and manipulating others. And I didn't see that. But when I was willing to set aside everything I think I know for a whole new experience with this HP, higher power, and that's all I wrote for a while. I wouldn't write the word God, HP, and it even felt funny to write it. And I wouldn't write higher power because I didn't want to see something was bigger than me. I just wrote HP little, right? But when I was able to set aside all of that, and I took the word believe, and I just looked at the B-E at the beginning, I was like, oh, I'll just try and be. That's what was pointed out to me, right? Just be. That's a pretty big action to take. It's actually the hardest action to take in this program is just to be. Be still. Know that there is something bigger than you out there, Jennifer Marie. And that's what I had to come to the realization of. And, you know, it wasn't that complex, but I made such a big deal of it. And so I just tried being. And when I was just being, then guess what happened? The amazing and the miraculous happened. I was able to get out of myself, to access a power that was greater than myself, to say that God is God and I am not. And, you know, I could begin to just see what God's will would be for my life. So I just think keeping it simple for me was easy. But today, you know, I'm just so blessed. I get to experience the miracles of this power of believing, of faith, of spiritual principles. And I kind of giggle now and just think, wow, but God had to take me on a journey to get there. So I'll just keep being Jen and keep showing up. Thanks, Anita. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, Jenny. All right. Good morning, Lisa B., and then it'll be Leah M.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lisa B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Greenville, South Carolina, and I'm really grateful to be here. I wanted to share my experience and hope that maybe it helps someone out there. I found that it was through sharing with fellows in the program, my inventories, and going through the steps the way it's described in the big book at a rapid pace in entire abstinence, and often doing the steps without feeling anything different. I know that there are promises associated with each step in the big book, and I'm grateful that I had fellows point those promises out to me, and that if I wasn't experiencing those promises, that it may be wise for me to go back to the preceding steps. But, you know, I think about the three legacies of AA, which is that triangle within the circle, and the bottom part of that legacy, the triangle, is service. And that's what feeds my spirit. But I can't carry a message unless I've done the work and have had this experience. And the experience can't be accomplished in my mind. It has to be experienced in my heart and in my soul. And then the other part of the triangle is the recovery process, which is the doctor's opinion and the first 164 pages, the 12 steps. And then the other part of the triangle is unity, the fellowship. And I'm finding today that it's really the fellowship supported by the service and the recovery process, those three keeping that balance, that I continue to grow and enlarge my spiritual life. And I'm so grateful that I heard on this line that it's not in step two, and I'm going to know what that relationship with this power is going to look like. It really comes through step 11. But all those steps before that really need to be done, you know, and worked on in abstinence so that I can have this experience. And I am so grateful for the fellowship. And I was told early on in another fellowship that the more honest I get with another alcoholic, I get closer to God. That it's not through sitting off in a corner privately, you know, meditating and writing letters to God, which I'm really good at doing that. But it's really through letting others in, letting that sunlight come in. And it comes through sharing with another fellow that shares his first step one experience that I have, and then trying to carry the message. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Lisa B. All right, Leah M., and then it'll be Vanessa S. Morning, Leah.
Thanks so much. I like this part of the text. You know, I was dying by this illness by my own hand under the guise of seeking ease and comfort. My disease was getting worse. Its talons wrapping itself around my neck, getting tighter and tighter. By the time I was ready to embark on this program of recovery, I was eating with a sense of urgency I had never known before. You know, I was 23 years old. My life was shattered. You know, everything torn asunder. It was a life and death matter at this point, standing in a locked facility with a wristband around my left hand
and, you know, trying to figure this thing out. The underlying dynamic here for me was calamity. It was utter defeat. You know, the ego and the habit of trying to figure things out and think myself through was beaten and ripped to bloody shreds. You know, all resistance had been beaten out of me. I was overwhelmed and overmatched by this disease. I had been so for decades, and I just laid down my ego and my intellect and cried out for help and said, you know, I don't know about any of this spiritual design for living or God or, you know, what it is. I can't define it. I'm not certain about it. I'm not sure of it. I've seen it. But, you know, pain got me through that because it was a life and death matter. It was a life and death matter. And the people in whom the problem had been solved were living proof that they, too, had been restored to sanity by something that many of them did not understand. And I left that discussion with that ex-alcoholic Marine with something I came in without. I left with hope. We didn't discuss theory of the 12 steps. On this line, we don't discuss the theory of the 12 steps. We teach how to implement them. But we just say, you know what? Your plan for living, Leah, produced you. Your plan for living tore every facet of your life to bloody, bloody shreds. So we're not going to discuss theory. We're going to discuss results. We have something that works. You have something that's crap. Your something has killed you, has beaten you into a corner, and so when are you going to give up? And I threw up my hands because I'm always surrendering to something, right? You're always surrendering to something. It was either going to be continued addiction or some new uncharted territory. And with that, I was ready to go. And with that, I passed. Thanks.
Thank you, Leah. All right, Vanessa S., good morning to you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Vanessa S. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater from Charlotte, North Carolina. This is my first time sharing on this line. I love this paragraph. When I grew up, I was in the Catholic Church, and although I did all of the things, you know, attendance and prayer, I never had a relationship, a real relationship with God that, you know, I could use to live life successfully. And when I went off to college and started studying religion, because there were so many things that faith, you know, really didn't work for me, I rejected not only religion, but the God idea entirely. I studied science and I needed proof. And there was no way that I could accept all of the miracles that I had read about in the Bible, you know, walking on water and making wine out of water and all of these things. And so, you know, it did not resonate with me. I lived a life for the next 20, 25 years by self-propulsion. And, you know, I was my own God and food was my God. You know, when I came into program, finally, I was definitely at an emotional bottom. Life did not seem worth living. I was having suicidal thoughts. I was binging and drinking uncontrollably. Before coming into program, actually maybe 6 months before, I remember, you know, thinking, gosh, I wish I had this thing that other people have. I saw people who had religion, who were free, peaceful, joyous. They radiated God's love and light, but I couldn't believe what they believed. So, you know, I was not about to step into a church. And I do recall when I was going through my divorce and binging and drinking uncontrollably, falling to my knees in my bedroom next to my bed and just saying, God, please help me. I can't do this alone. And a sense of peace and warmth just flowed through my body. And I don't think I heard a voice, but what I heard in my mind was, everything is going to be okay. You're going to be okay. You're safe. And that was a spiritual experience. Now, I did not pray again for many months. I really didn't change anything at that point in time. But a few months later, I came into program in another fellowship. I did get abstinent, and I ended up working the steps through another fellowship, not food related. And I did develop, thank God, a relationship with God. I was not looking for a relationship with God. That's not why I came in to 12-step recovery program, to forge a relationship with God. I came in to overcome my food problem, my drinking problem, and I had to, quote unquote, get a relationship with the higher power in order to do that. Today, I want a deeper, bigger relationship with God. It's not about the food anymore. I want God to be everything to me.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're way over, but I didn't tell you.
Oh, sorry. With that, I will pass.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Vanessa S. Please share again sometime. All right. How about two or three more?
This is Larry. I'm happy to share.
Larry. Go, Larry.
Why not, right? Thanks, Anita. Gosh, great shares. We could commence at a simpler level, it tells us in this paragraph. You know, it would be putting it mildly to if I were to suggest to anyone that it was a major leap for me to come to terms with the underlying cause of my sickness, that the underlying cause of my sickness was not food and fat, but rather a spiritual separation. I had a hard time coming to terms. I had things out of order. I thought I needed to be emancipated from food. That's why I came here. And then all would become better. Wrong, not a little wrong, dead wrong. What I've come to understand, you know, through just direct experience in this program, is that the cause of my spiritual malady was a separation from this divine source. I know that today. I didn't get that. I didn't want to get that. I was like a starfish, and I was washed up on the seashore. And there I am, dying. I'm drying out in the sun, can't move on the sandy beach. The sun's drying me out. And mind you, the water is just a few feet away, yet there was no means to access that power. And I swore up and down to all the other starfish that cared to listen, there was only a couple, that how powerful the water was and that it exists and it's miraculous. And then along comes, you know, a little girl, and she loves starfish, and she pleads with her mother to let her take the starfish home. And the mother says, but he'll die. Let's save him from a certain death. And so the little girl sponsors me, and she picks me up, and with the pitcher's wind up, she chucks me back into the ocean. And I'll tell you, she truly did for me what I couldn't have done for myself. In fact, I call newcomers like me a starfish. You know, we gently throw them into the ocean of recovery through the steps. And now, as the result of the steps, putting the food down, when I turn to God, there is an illumination from within, and I'm grateful for that illumination. I didn't illuminate myself. God illuminated me. I just worked some steps. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Larry. All right, a couple more.
Ross M.
Russ. Who else?
Anita L.
Anita L. All right, wonderful. All right, good morning, Russ.
Good morning, Anita. Good morning, family. Russ M., recovered compulsive overeater outside of Philly. Man, this is massive. This whole chapter is massive. You know, coming in, my whole life I had faith in God, you know, that he was there and that he'd protect me. And so on, and until really this disease took over, And, you know, I got into self and it progressed, obviously, right? We're rehashing all the things. But it's funny how as a youth, as a young kid, that I could have such a deep, intimate relationship with God. And yet, as the disease progressed, I started to want to be God myself, right? The more I ate, the more I wanted to be God and control and walk over people. And then the kicker of the whole thing is, while I'm trying to be God, I'm bitching that there isn't a God. And that if there is a God, he's not doing what I want him to do. So it's such an entanglement. But the greatest thing that ever happened is that I went through this, that I suffered like this and experienced this whole life, because it brought me to my knees to realize that if it wasn't for God, you know, I wouldn't even be alive. If it wasn't for something greater than me, I wouldn't be alive. All my best knowledge, thought, action, control, ego got me into a beaten, battered state, right? I can't get myself out of it. The diet couldn't get myself out of it. The psychologist couldn't get me out of it. You know, financial help didn't get me out of it. Only God has relieved me. And, you know, I step back and think of, in Italian we say, Gabador, such a hard head I was that I had to control everything. You know, I guess it's the way I'm wired. The beauty of it is that there's a change, you know, because of the steps. And now I have an intimate relationship with God once again. But it's only because of this program and working the steps. My point is that if you look at me and you see my past and you see now, that should tell you about God, because I was a damn train wreck. That's what I'm getting at. I wish I could have made it simpler. You all have a great day. I love you.
Thanks so much, Russ. Anita L., it's your turn. Good morning.
Good morning, Anita. Thank you, everybody. This is Anita L. from also outside of Philadelphia, the other side. Anyway, recovered just for today by the grace of my higher power. And I just wanted to say faith and trust in a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. You know, I came into OA not even thinking of God, then listening year after year, coming to believe something, and it kept growing, and my understanding of my higher power got deeper and deeper, my level of willingness, my level of surrender, and then a different desperation came this winter. And since then, you know, I had to give up 100% because I was going to die. I was going to miss out on life. And so what did I have left? All I really could do at that point was say, God, I'm yours. I give up. I don't know what to do. And my higher power is so loving, so gracious, so good, that I was picked up and brought to a level of recovery that I never had before. And the food, it's all down. I never thought that would happen for me. You know, I just kept some subtle things in there. But those subtle things are what kept me a prisoner. And for today, my faith and my trust that life will be beyond my wildest dreams is there. And it's a subtle life beyond my wildest dreams. It's nothing like hugely fabulous. You know, I still have problems. Life isn't perfect. And my peace and serenity, the majority of every day, is wonderful. And that is due to the wonderful gift that my higher power picked me up and brought me to a place where I had never known. And it can happen for all of us. So that, thank you for letting me share. And I pass.
Well, thank you for ending our meeting on such a positive note, Anita L. I want to thank everyone who shared today, and I would like you to join us for a second hour of recovery and study of the steps immediately following closing. And the share ID for the meeting we have just all experienced is 13,273. And we will now close with the reading from the big book on page 164. And I have asked Janice B. to read a vision for you for us.
Good morning, visionaries. This is Janice B., recovered compulsive overeater in Vermont. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.